pissed.
Chapter 51, Day 143, Kuborn 33, 0 AOC. Sion refused to say anything else. Richter was going to summon a mist worker to carry the body of the Ebon Tusker, but the dungeon had long since absorbed the body. It was a bit of a disappointment, because he'd wanted Tabia to have a crack at it. Just adding it to the lesson of not pushing magical buttons, he let it go, picking up the body of a prowler as he shrugged it off. Then, having everyone pulling close around him, he cast Dungeon Transport. 9 seconds later, the companions appeared in front of the transport node at the dungeon entrance. Richter carried the prowler under one arm, an easy task for his 33 points of strength. While they walked, he finally got to learn about his new skill. Congratulations! You have learned the sub-skill Unconventional Materials. You may now create magical items from a wide range of base materials. Where others see the mundane, you see endless possibility. Increasing your knowledge of the world around you will make this sub-skill more powerful. A true master of this skill can create masterpieces from rubbish. +1% to creativity. +1% chance of a new design forming a template. Congratulations! You have reached skill levels 4 through 25 in crafting. +25% enchantment potential to items you create. +25% success in combining components. Congratulations! You have advanced from novice to initiate in crafting. The perceived value of the items you assist in creating is increased by +10%. This is cumulative with successive ranks. Congratulations! You have advanced from initiate to apprentice in crafting. The durability of your crafted items is increased by 25%. This is cumulative with successive ranks. You have received 1,250 bonus experience for reaching level 10 in the subskill crafting. XP deficit remaining, -104,408. You have received 2,500 bonus experience for reaching level 20 in the subskill crafting. XP deficit remaining, -101,908. Congratulations, you have reached sub-skill levels 1 through 25 in unconventional materials. +25% creativity. +25% chance of a new design forming a template. Congratulations, you have advanced from novice to initiate in unconventional materials. For known templates, you may now substitute one component for another similar material. This number will increase with successive ranks. Congratulations, you have advanced from initiate to apprentice in unconventional materials. You may now add an additional component to known templates to augment the final item without compromising the initial intent. You have received 625 bonus experience for reaching level 10 in the subskill unconventional materials. XP deficit remaining, -101,283. You have received 1,250 bonus experience for reaching level 20 in the subskill Unconventional Materials. XP deficit remaining, -100,033. The benefits from buying the skill book kept coming, and he hadn't even used the skill yet. The experience bonuses were always welcome. It was the skill bonuses that he was really excited about, though. Now any item he made had a +25% bonus to enchanting potential. That meant he would be able to pack more enchantments into any belt, blade, or armor that he created himself. As a professed enchanter, that opened up amazing possibilities. One of the most exciting was that crafting was synergistic with his enchanting skill. The rank bonuses from crafting weren't too shabby either. As an apprentice, any item that he helped to create would now be considered 20% more valuable than it would otherwise. That was amazing, seeing as how Richter intended for enchanted items to be a major export of the village. He was already relishing the thought of a certain quartet of brothers having to pay more than they wanted for his work. The bonus to durability could also come in handy. An item losing durability points would decrease its effectiveness or even make it non-functional. It hadn't been an issue, as the Forge of Heavens could repair his gear to full functionality whenever necessary, but having more resilient items could never be a bad thing. It also meant the village fighters could endure long battles without a serious drop in the damage or defense of their gear. The skill bonuses from unconventional materials also improved his chances of making a new template. He was already closer to completing his first crafter quest. The rank bonuses weren't too useful yet, seeing as how he didn't actually own a template, but he had no doubt they would be in the future. He went on to the next notification window. Know this, even the most skilled person in the land is limited by their own base nature. A boost of 50% to sword damage means nothing to an armless man. The subskill Unconventional Materials is influenced heavily by the creativity of the crafter. Creativity can be influenced by any number of factors, but each person is born with a certain amount. Know this, you have increased a secondary attribute, creativity. Your base creativity by nature is 1.1. Unless properly stimulated, most never become aware of this personal value. The base creativity of most sapients in the land is 1.0 and remains dormant throughout their lives. Though you are not unique in improving this secondary attribute, you are now part of a select class of beings whose thoughts and ideas could truly shape the land itself. Your own creativity has been awakened. As has always been true, creativity is ephemeral and comes from the most unlikely of sources. Increased creativity may have implications in all facets of your life. Increasing this value also increases the likelihood of having an epiphany. Embrace all life to increase your own, but never forget that as you reach for the stars, success raises the likelihood of being burned. Your now awakened creativity is affected by several factors. 1. Chaos Seed. Your chaotic alignment of 2 increases your creativity by +20%. 2. Lore. Your lore of 1 increases your base creativity by +10%. 3. Gift of Tongues. Language is a matrix which shapes our thoughts. Your Gift of Tongues ability greatly influences the way that you perceive the world. This ability increases your base creativity by +1. 4. Unconventional Materials. Reaching subskill level 25 gives a +25% bonus to creativity. Total creativity, 3.26. As Richter's mind had recovered from the experience with the skill book, he'd started to notice something. There had always been a ceaseless stream of calculations, about a million different things going on in the back of his head. It was a bit stressful, but it sometimes let his unconscious mind provide solutions to previously unanswered questions. What was interesting was that he'd started thinking of new ideas. The new skill hadn't only taught him about crafting, it had changed the way he saw the world. Now that he was actively thinking about it, there were other ideas popping into his head. A smile grew on his face. He wasn't even that bothered by the fact that until now, he'd had roughly the same creativity as everyone else. It still did a little bit, though. Not to be too big a dick, but most people of the land were medieval in their mindset. They thought bathing was optional. How could his creativity be the same as theirs? No matter the answer, that was all behind him now. His mind was exploding with ideas. He definitely needed to finish his other lore book. That was something he'd been putting off for far too long. He didn't know what an epiphany was exactly, but it certainly sounded good, too. With a new secondary attribute under his belt, he checked his status page to see if it had shifted anything. Richter furrowed his brow. Everything looked basically the same as the last time he checked. He still didn't completely get how secondary attributes fit in with his overall status. The first he'd even known of them was when the gambling skill had revealed the secondary stat Intuition. Trying to get a screen to appear with more information hadn't produced any result. Now wasn't the time, but he planned to have a sit-down with Randy sometime soon so he could learn about them. For now, he was just happy with his progression. Looking over his stats, there was no denying that he was a contender. Certainly not the strongest thing on two legs, but definitely not a pushover. His progress wasn't anything to sneeze at, considering the fact that he'd literally been wolf shit 6 months earlier. Richter closed the window and addressed the next prompt. He'd gotten a new quest! Congratulations, you have been offered a quest, Creative Spark 1. The true calling of any crafter is to create a masterpiece. Long is the road to this most hallowed of destinations, however, and there will be many stops along the way. The ranks of crafted items are trash, poor, average, above average, well-crafted, exceptional, superb, exquisite, and masterpiece. Success conditions. You are tasked with creating 5 superb quality items using designs you create yourself. Reward, 1-time boost to creativity to be used at your discretion. Penalty for failure or rejecting quest, none. Do you accept? Yes or no? Absolute no-brainer, he thought. He couldn't wait to try his new skill and flex his new creative mentality. As a new apprentice in crafting, he had a low chance of making superb quality items. It was effectively the highest rank of item he would be able to create. It was much more likely that he would produce above-average, well-crafted, or exceptional objects, at least until he further leveled up his skill. There was a very, very small chance that he would make either average or exquisite items, but it was so low that it was practically negligible. Still, he knew that with practice, he could finish the quest. Richter accepted it. Dismissing the final prompt, Richter walked along beside his companions. His mind was alive with possibilities. He was so distracted that he didn't even realize they had reached the forge until he heard the voice of a cherished friend that he'd missed more than he'd realized. Due to the content of what Crom was saying, though, it wasn't exactly a Hallmark moment.
I swear by the pussy beard of your goblin mother that I'll shove every god's damn dingot in the smithy up your pus-boiled sphincter if you dinna get your cocklint mustache out of my forge yesterday. I'll teat-slap you. And you, dinna think I canna see the state you left me tools in. And what are you poor excuses for split cock sacks doing just looking while there be work to be done? Move your shit-soaked britches and help stoke the fires. What are you doing here? What be your name? Stop. It didn't matter. I'll just call you Head. It looks like you're balancing a boulder on a toothpick. Go help Bowden if you can, hauling that gargantuan cranium about. Didn't make that face at me, Head. Just do your work, and tonight you can cry yourself to sleep on your huge pillow.
God damn, Richter said to himself. He'd never seen Crom so worked up before. The crowd of onlookers that had been at the forge earlier had cleared out. He wondered if their presence had been what had initially set the dwarf off. Crom was as jealous of his forge as a man dumb enough to take his girlfriend to a Wu-Tang concert. Crom looked over as Richter walked in, and his expression changed to a wide grin, mostly hid by his salt-and-pepper beard.
It'd be good to be home, your lordship. You can use a capital S when you call me Smith now, but not just because of me job.
That smile told Richter everything he needed to know, but he still used analyze. A grin grew on his own face. The dwarf was now a professed smith. Name, Crom. Age, 47. Level, 14, 28%. Race, Mountain Dwarf. Profession, Smith. Disposition, Loyal. Stats. Health, 240. Mana, 160. Stamina, 270. Attributes. Strength, 30. Agility, 16. Dexterity, 15. Constitution, 24. Endurance, 27. Intelligence, 16. Wisdom, 15. Charisma, 10. Luck, 10. Mountain dwarves are a hardy folk that get bonuses to constitution and endurance each level. They have keen eyesight that gives them excellent night vision. Natural miners, it is said mountain dwarves can smell veins of precious metals. Increased resistance to negative physical effects. Each level provides 3 free attribute points and +1 to constitution and endurance. Richter looked at the professed smith's personal level in some surprise, but thought he already had an answer for why it was so high. Though the Chaos Seed's limitless ability was wonderful and had catapulted his skill progression, there were still some benefits to obtaining a profession the old-fashioned way, namely, decades of hard work and struggle. As soon as someone gained their profession, they had access to new quests that offered talent points as well as experience. These were simple if-then quests, such as, if you forge 10 superb quality swords, then you fulfilled the requirements for a quest, and most likely unlocked the next link in the quest chain. If the first link required 10 swords, then the next would most likely call for 100. The best part about these quests was they could be awarded retroactively if you had already met the terms of completion before your trial. In those cases, you could get a massive windfall of talent points and experience all at once. Judging by the fact that Crom was now level 14 when he'd only been level 10 or 11 before his trial, the dwarf must have crushed a buttload of his profession quests thanks to his decades of smithing. "Looks like you had a good time," Richter said with a smile. "How's Nexus?"
"Not a fan of yours, me lord."
The dwarf extended his hand and the two men clasped wrists. "When I heard that you were back and that you were yelling, I thought it might be bad news."
"Bad news?"
Crom echoed. "That you might not have passed your trial."
"Huh," Crom scoffed. "Smithing be in my blood. There were no doubt in me mind, and there shouldn't have been any in yours."
The dwarf fixed Richter with a baleful eye, not a small feat, seeing as how the dwarf was about 2 feet shorter. Richter raised his hands in mock surrender. "Well, have you gotten any cool talents?"
"Oh, aye," Crom replied with a twinkle in his eye. "You might see that. Listen,"
and Crom began to describe the first of his new talents.
"The first thing I bought was increased potential. It cost me 5 talent points, but it will also increase the enchantment slots for any weapon I make by 10%.
Seeing Richter's smile, he commented,
"I were thinking you'd like that."
The dwarf was right. Richter hadn't even considered the fact that Crom's profession might be complementary to his own. Now that he was thinking about it, though, it more than made sense. His enchanter profession was kind of an umbrella, including smithing, crafting, construction, and most likely other skills and professions that he didn't even know about yet.
"Thanks for thinking of me, man," Richter told him with a smile. "What else did you buy?" "To be quite honest, your lordship, I was torn. The portal for me trial led out here in the smithy, and,"
the dwarf raised his voice dangerously,
"I was confronted with the horrible state of me god's damned core building!"
All the other smiths paused for a moment, but when they saw none of them were the direct target of the dwarf's ire, they just got back to work with a bit more urgency than before. Crom glared at his subordinates a while longer before turning back to Richter with a quick wink. The dwarf truly did love yelling.
"After I got finished with me short motivational speech for these jackalopes, I was tempted to go the traditional route. Most smiths pour their TPs into increasing the defense or attack of their weapons and armor. Any noble or chief will pay serious gold for a smith that can increase the power of their armies. But,"
and his voice grew serious as he looked Richter straight in the eyes,
"I swore you fealty, and I meant it. I be with you till death, me lord. When I first came back, Bowden showed me the dark stone blade you two made. It'd be truly marvelous. I have never seen the metal before, and your enchantments be powerful as always."
Crom walked over to the elementum chest in the middle of the forge. The smooth block of green metal developed a seam at his mental command, and the lid swung upward. He reached in and withdrew 2 items. One was the dark stone blade, and the other was the broken hilt that had been found in the cave of the dark aberration. "I was meaning to ask you about that," Richter said.
"Why are you keeping some of that junk?" "The junk of one man is the treasure of another," Crom replied enigmatically. "I had a feeling that this hilt was worth something, but couldn't be sure until now. I need to buy 2 more talents. Magical repair to preserve the magic in the hilt while it is fixed, and combine fragments to merge. All I was waiting for was you, your lordship."
Richter watched in surprise as Crom bought the talents in front of him. The dwarf concentrated for a moment as he made the purchases. When he was done, he looked at the hilt in his hand and a globe of white light appeared centered on his fist and reaching halfway up his forearm. As soon as the light winked out, Richter's identification talent triggered. You have found T'Klor's hilt of reclamation, broken. Created from the dimensional bones of a greater shadow demon, this hilt and the blade that was once attached were wielded by the dark paladin T'Klor. A piece of the demon's soul is still bound to this item. Using this hilt will shroud the wielder in shadows, greatly increasing their base concealment stat. Whoever holds this weapon also benefits from some of the demon's powers. The more lives this weapon claims, the greater the powers it can unlock. Durability, 5 of 147. Item class, rare. Quality, masterwork. Weight, 0.8 kilograms. Traits, plus 5 to base concealment, plus 3 strength, plus 2 endurance. Level 1. Your weapon hungers. Feed it to increase its powers. Current bonus, plus 3 dark damage per dark magic skill rank. Holy fuck! Richter spoke slowly, as if he was afraid that he'd scare the status window away. This thing was incredible. When the land had just been a game, finding items that gave 4 or 5 different magic perks could be expected on any day that ended in day. The reality of enspelled items in the land was that they were exceedingly difficult to create. It required an enchantment be known, and that powdered crystal, an expensive resource, be on hand. A smith who could make higher quality weapons as low quality items lacked the integrity to hold an enchantment. Materials to make the base unenchanted weapon and captured souls to power the enchantment. Getting the various people, skills, and materials together in one place was an extremely difficult and even more expensive proposition. In a very real way, his village was almost an enchantment factory, and it required hundreds of people working in conjunction to operate. It also cost Richter hundreds of gold a month just in salaries, not even including the high cost of materials. His village had several unique advantages that let him create enchanted weapons quickly. Namely, the presence of the Forge of Heavens. That by itself was a massive boon. There was also the fact that Richter had stumbled upon a large amount of wealth and the Mist Village itself early on. If he had just spawned in his city or some other random place, the only access he would have had to enchanted items would have been what he could find or steal. Making his own would have been a pipe dream. Even after all that was factored in, he had only recently gained the ability to place 2 different enchantments on the same item. As far as he knew, only a professed enchanter that gained more than 10 levels worth of talent points could purchase the talent that made it possible. Even becoming an enchanter meant reaching a personal level of 10 and a skill level of 45 in the skill, something that most commoners never accomplished. Defying everything that he had learned, this item gave multiple buffs to his primary attributes. How could this thing have so many bonuses? Attribute boosts were especially rare, and this thing increased several at once. How? Richter stared at the hilt consideringly. Then it hit him. He was observing the true power of crafting. The perks hadn't been added. They were natural to the bones of the shadow demon it had been made from. Richter was more excited than ever to explore his new skill. He clapped Crom on the shoulder and held the hilt while rereading the prompt. In addition to the primary attribute boosts, it also increased his base concealment. The 14 levels he had achieved in his stealth skill gave a 28% bonus to his inherent ability to hide himself. That capability was based both on the person and on the environment. An easy way to think of it would be that a black bear could easily hide in a cave, but would be fucked after a snowfall. Its effective concealment would plummet. Richter's own base concealment was currently 7. Apparently most humans were born with a base concealment of 1. Other races had bonuses that changed the value based on the situation. One of the wood sprites' racial abilities was woodcraft. Among other things, it increased their base concealment to a crazy high level if they were in a forest. He had literally seen the small men and women disappear in front of his eyes when they were only 20 feet away. Outside of the shelter of trees, though, the sprites lost the bonus and were just as easy to spot as anyone else. Richter wasn't sure if hill sprites shared the ability or had something analogous. Forest sprites seemed to have an even stronger bond with the trees than Hisako's people. While the ability made the sprites more than dangerous, it also seemed to hamper their skill growth in certain areas, as few of the wood sprites ever learned the stealth skill. When Richter had learned the skill, his base concealment had immediately been boosted by plus one. Each successive rank he gained in stealth increased it by another five. With his skill level bonuses, he currently had a personal concealment value of plus nine. His allies had further helped him with armor that increased his base capability to move silently by plus 15. Even better, the rare item he had been gifted, his Cloak of Concealment, increased his base concealment by plus 13 in every terrain, not just the forest. It was his gear that kept him hidden more than his skills, but that didn't make a difference to the enemies that died before they even knew he was there. All things being equal, he should be able to keep himself hidden from anything and anyone with a perception value less than his concealment. As was always the case in real life, many other factors came into play, however. How quickly he moved, how much noise he made, how effective his enemy's sense of smell was, the terrain, and other details. This could all mean the difference between being hidden or being seen, which in turn could mean the difference between life and death. In addition to the awesome boost to his stats, the Shadow Demon Hilt effectively boosted him from novice to apprentice in stealth. If he used the weapon, his base value would increase to over 12. It would effectively increase his ability to hide by 50%. While all that was cool, the bond it had to dark magic was perhaps the most exciting. The plus 3 to damage was awesome, but more importantly, the weapon was scalable. As he killed with it, the hilt might level up. It even looked like reaching higher ranks in his skill might unlock more properties in the weapon. The lack of charges in the description also seemed to indicate that the bonus powers the hilt provided were passive, not active. It meant that the stat boosts and extra damage wouldn't run out in the middle of a fight. Crom had been so right. What Richter had taken for trash had actually been treasure. "And you can attach this to the Darkstone Blade?" Richter asked excitedly. A broad grin made its way onto Crom's face.
"I can now. Being a professed smith has been a dream since you were a wee nipper. I want to give you a gift.
Attaching this hilt will be so amazing, man. I couldn't do this without you," Richter told him magnanimously. If the dwarf needed a little ego stroking, he'd spit on his hand if it meant getting this weapon.
"Bah," Crom shook his head. "This here be my job as the village smith. I would have done this for any clan chief I pledged myself to. What I mean is a real gift. I have more talent points to distribute, and my old master told me about a fourth tier talent that could help you greatly, your lordship. I didn't want to tell you what it be yet. I didn't want to ruin the surprise, but I promise you will love it."
"Are you sure?" Richter asked, raising his eyebrows. Talents radiated out from the central sphere of a profession like planets around a sun. In this particular solar system, though, each planetary radius had several spheres on it. The number of rings you were out from the sun was the talent tier, and the only way to reach a higher tier was to purchase a talent from a lower sphere that linked to it. That meant Crom would have to buy up talents that he might not want. Each tier was also more expensive than the one before. Richter now understood why Crom was acting as if he was offering something of great value. It was because he was. The dwarf was offering to spend perhaps all of his talent points on a gift for Richter. He was touched. Though the KRC didn't know it, Crom received a prompt that his relationship with Richter had leveled from interested to admiring. The dwarf's smile grew even wider.
"Couldn't I be more sure of anything? Now that I'm back, I'll also be ready to finally finish your scaling armor. I assume you have the soul stones to power the enchantments now."
As hallmarky as the moment between the two of them had been, Crom's voice was all business now. There was also a touch of exasperation, which Richter knew was fair. The Chaos Seed had received the Spirit of Defense quest more than 40 days ago from the smith. To fulfill it, he needed to obtain enough high-level souls to properly enchant the 6 pieces of armor Crom would make. As if to confirm that Richter was dragging ass, a prompt appeared. "Quest update, the Spirit of Defense. Crom has asked if you have captured enough souls to finally finish your new armor. He is growing impatient as you seem to have time to do everything else except let him help you. While this quest will not expire, you just might not get his best work if you continue to spend more time swinging your sword in and out of bed than letting your professed smith save your life with a new and powerful set of armor. Do you have the souls required at this time? Yes or no? Your answer may determine how Crom spends his talent points.
What the fuck, man?
Richter thought to himself. He had thought he was done with the snarky comments in his prompts. When he had first gotten to the land, every other notification had seemed to insult him. Over time, they had become polished and formulaic, though. This was the first time in a while that he'd gotten one like that. It was a bit annoying, even if it was perfectly valid. Richter quickly accessed his inventory, looking specifically at the soul stones he had amassed. Resplendent Soul Stone with Resplendent Level Soul, amount 1. Soul Point Value 300. Resplendent Soul Stone, empty, amount 3. Special Soul Stone with Special Level Soul, amount 3. Soul Point Value 100. Special Soul Stone, empty, amount 9. Brilliant Soul Stone with Brilliant Level Soul, amount 3. Soul Point Value 45. Brilliant Soul Stone, empty, amount 17. Luminous Soul Stone with Luminous Level Soul, amount 16. Soul Point Value 17. Luminous Soul Stone, empty, amount 38. Common Soul Stone with Common Level Soul, amount 42. Soul Point Value 10. Common Soul Stone with Basic Level Soul, amount 12. Soul Point Value 6. Common Soul Stone with Weak Level Soul, amount 14. Soul Point Value 3. Common Soul Stone with Poor Level Soul, amount 3. Soul Point Value 1. Common Soul Stone, empty, amount 50. Even if he hadn't fulfilled the quest yet, he hadn't been a slouch. Months of battle and stealing of loot had added up. The maximum enchantment slots on each piece of armor would depend on the quality of Crom's work, but Richter felt confident that everything would be top-notch. If each piece were superb, 2 luminous and 1 weak soul stone would be needed for each piece of armor. The lower-level souls were easy enough to come by, but spending the luminous souls would be a real scrote pluck. Still, it would be worth it. He hadn't reached high ranks in any of his defensive enchantments, but now that he could put 2 enchantments on 1 item, he might actually be able to fill all the slots. A worthy goal, he decided. "I got your damn souls," Richter told the dwarf with an easy smile. "I want to see if I can advance my enchantments before we finally do it, though. Can you prepare the armor except for the final steps, so we can enchant it all at once?"
"That'd be a good idea," Crom responded, nodding his head. "I will take several days to finish the skilling scales, along with other projects."
The dwarf glanced up at Alma, making eye contact with the dragonling. Her eyes widened slightly, but she nodded her draconian head. He turned his gaze back towards Richter.
"I have another question for you, though, your lordship. These here scales are tough, and you brought me many. You need to make a decision. Do you want a set of light or medium armor?"
As he asked the question, Crom handed over a scroll. When Richter unrolled it, his eyes widened in surprise. It was a detailed drawing of 2 sets of armor, 1 medium and 1 light. They were both made of skilling scales. Underneath was a comparison of the projected defense values of each piece, assuming the quality of superb. Crom had even added in the stats from Richter's current gear, enhanced sprite armor. Richter could have done without the little note Crom had added in the margin about it only being good for wee sprites and wee lasses, but the numbers didn't lie. Crom was basing the different armor sets on leather and scale armor, respectively. Apparently, the dwarf thought that the skilling scales were equivalent to quicksilver armor, giving +5 to the base defense of each piece.
"When did you have time to do this?" Richter asked, impressed. "You just got back."
"I be very mysterious, your lordship,"
Crom replied enigmatically. Even more strangely, Alma had alighted on the anvil in front of the dwarf and seemed to be strutting around. Richter shook his head at his irascible familiar. Then he turned his attention back to the diagrams. Before Crom had brought it up, he hadn't even considered wearing anything other than light armor. He couldn't just ignore the facts, though. Both examples offered a great deal more defense than his enhanced sprite armor, the medium armor substantially more. Wearing the medium armor would almost make him into a tank. The penalties sucked, but the scaled armor was seriously badass. He looked back and forth, but in the end, he decided on the first option. The casting penalty itself was enough to make him say no to the scaled armor. He hadn't experienced a spell miscast in some time, but the one time he'd suffered from spell feedback, he'd been rendered senseless. That was the day he discovered that if you wanted to kill a mage, force their magic back in on itself. They'd be so helpless you could deliver the coup de grace with a rock. Casting was a serious part of his combat style. He couldn't handicap himself. A missed cast was still a chance with his light armor, but between his high affinity for magic and the fact that all of his spells were ranked either weak or minor, it really hadn't been a problem so far. The other penalties certainly didn't make it any better. On top of all that, he had already gotten some serious perks from leveling up his light armor skill. After reaching initiate rank, the movement penalty had decreased to 2% per piece of armor he wore, and being skill level 16 gave him a 32% bonus to any light armor he wore. The initiate rank also gave a synergy bonus that increased the defense of each piece of light armor by plus 20%, as long as that was all he was equipped with. That almost closed the gap. Richter made his decision and handed the scroll back to Crom. "Light armor," he responded simply. Then Richter cocked his head in confusion. For a second, he'd been sure that Alma's scales had been glowing. When he focused, though, he didn't see anything and decided it must have just been a trick of the light.
"Aye," Crom said, nodding. "Was pretty sure that would be the choice, but hard to ask. The good news is, I just might leave enough scales left over for another project."
He looked around at the flurry of activity around him.
"I suppose I should get back to work now, your lordship, unless there be more you needed."
Richter shook his head. The two men clasped wrists and the Chaos Seed turned to leave, Sion and Randolphus in tow. Before they even made it outside the forge, Crom had started cursing up a storm again. He was clearly enjoying himself, as he was doing the Spanglish equivalent of Dwarvish in common.
"What are you doing cleaning so much? This be a forge, not a fine lady's dressing room. Mayhap you should be working on swinging the hammer and not getting all fancy and pretty. You could always go up to the garden and pluck some daisies if you didn't think it will ruin your nails."
Crom rapidly switched targets for his ire, as dangerous as a sniper on a clear day.
"And you, Head, why don't you move that giant melon on top of your neck and do something useful? I know you'll be able to think of something to do. Your brain must weigh 20 pounds unless it just be rattling around in that humongous melon. Go stoke the fire, you giant-headed bastard. Dinna look at me with that sad face. Get to work."
And on it went. Before they made it out of earshot, Richter heard the dwarf smugly ask,
"Now which of you ugly bastards wants a quest from me, sweet and cuddly self?"
In contradiction to how the smiths should have been feeling after being dressed down in such a thorough manner, cheers rang out around the forge, and they all crowded around Crom. Richter looked at Randolphus askance. "Crom can give quests now?" The rogue adopted the look he reserved when he was explaining something that everyone except Richter would know. "Professionals are valued for many reasons, my lord. They, of course, have access to talents that can greatly improve their power and capabilities, but they also can generate profession-related quests. A smith such as Crom must work hard to fulfill the rigorous demands of his own profession quest, and so does not have the time to smelt ore, bind spearheads to hafts, and other such time-consuming minutiae that are still vital to the running of a forge. It has always been true that professionals can encourage others that share their skill, but are not as far progressed by creating small quests. The professional is given much-needed support, and less skilled men and women can earn necessary experience and expertise. I am sure you can see now why lords so desire the presence of professionals in their settlements." Richter nodded, his mind considering the far-reaching consequences. He absently wondered if his increased creativity was already coming into play. Having a professional farmer would certainly boost the crop yield of a village, but through the quests, they would also increase the rate at which the village produced more farmers. The growth could become exponential. The high incidence of sudden death and the decades often required to become a professional were most likely the only reasons that pros were so few and far between. Dozens of Richter's people had been taken by Nexus to their trials all at once, though. As long as he protected them, and maybe even got his non-combatants some carefully regulated combat experience, he could have a village full of talented people. He smiled, thinking of it. Sion peeled off, saying he would catch up later, and the other two men kept walking. A great deal had happened that morning. Richter had a lot to consider, but there was one question really bugging him. He told Randolphus about the irreverent prompt he had received in response to the quest update. The Chamberlain nodded.
As I said before, my lord, the prompts that we each receive are a personal interpretation of the will of the universe. The oneness is so far beyond our mortal minds, however, that we each struggle to process the information. So you see, our notifications are actually created by each of us individually. If you are receiving personalized messages with a certain patronizing tone, that is most likely because you know that you should be getting your head out of your ass.
Richter stopped walking and looked at his chamberlain in shock. The spy just looked back and shrugged.
You asked.
Chapter 52, Day 143, Kuborn 33, 0 AOC. Richter spent the next several hours training with Randolphus in stealth, small blades, and water magic. He didn't advance a skill level, but the rogue told him that if he kept practicing the techniques, his base stealth would increase. That was the first time Richter had heard about one of his secondary attributes increasing due to training. When he brought that up with Randolphus, the spy had just shaken his head sadly. Then the Chamberlain explained that with proper training, that was an extremely common occurrence. While primary attributes could increase, like getting an extra point in endurance if he ran a great distance, that was much less likely. Richter's limitless ability had helped him to catapult through skill levels and made it possible for him to compete with people who had invested years in their capabilities. The Chamberlain instructed him in techniques to throw his daggers better and ways to fight with his short swords. One thing became clear to Richter through the hours of training. He had a great deal to learn. It was well into the afternoon when they finished, and he was starving. Richter made his way over to the feast area and dug into some food. It had become common practice for some dry food to be left out under cloth. He had to shake a few bugs off his meal, but there were many things he'd become accustomed to since coming to the land. After breaking his fast, he did something that he had been putting off for far too long. He decided to train with his guards. There were more martial skills to be had, and he intended to grab them all. When Richter walked up to the training ground, he was pleased to see dozens of guards sparring and training. The last time he had come through, the men and women of the guard had seemed a bit ramshackle. If he remembered correctly, one woman had actually beaten her husband senseless in front of him, something about the man's wandering hands having found a few of the other village women. Now it was completely different. The fires of war had tempered his fighters. The guards were moving through drills with serious expressions and intensity, all under Calder's watchful gaze. They sparred using specific attacks and defenses, building the muscle memory necessary for all true warriors. The new corporals, Ox and Schroeder, seconded the sergeant's shouts, already easing into their new roles.
Form one! Keep that blade up! Good! Now reset! Ready! Form two! Attack!
Tarad walked up to where Richter was watching.
Can I help you, my lord?
Richter nodded.
Teach me everything you know about fighting.
Tarad smiled broadly.
I thought you would never ask, sir.
Over the next few hours, the Chaos Seed gained valuable new skills. Congratulations, you have learned the skill Shields. Some say that attacking is the greatest way to defeat an enemy, Any shieldsman can tell you that living longer than your enemy is the only true way to win. A true master of this skill can ward off even the blows of fate with his head held high. When using an equipped shield, plus 3% shield defense, minus 1% stamina cost to block with shield. Congratulations, you learned the skill Staves. In the hands of a shepherd or a monk, the staff can be used to protect or kill. Only a fool underestimates a fighter armed with a stout length of wood. A true master can stand in a storm of blades and never take a cut. When using an equipped stave, plus 1% attack damage, plus 3% attack speed. Congratulations, you have learned the skill Spears. The front line of any army, spear and pikemen stand tall before waves of enemies with a simple message, not today. A true master can disable an army before they ever get within reach. When using an equipped spear, plus 2% attack damage, ignore 1% of an enemy's armor. Congratulations, you have learned the skill crossbows. Though not as elegant as the bow, crossbows are not designed to deliver poetry. They deliver death. The stopping power of these devices cannot be ignored. A true master can pierce the armor of titans. When using an equipped crossbow, plus 3% attack damage, plus 5% reload speed. Congratulations, you have learned the skill axes. There is no greater satisfaction than the splatter of a foe's blood on your face. While swords can pierce and maces can crush, it takes an axe to truly cleave. A true master can chop through the limbs of giants. When using an equipped axe, plus 3% attack damage, plus 1% attack speed. Congratulations, you have learned the skill hammer wielding. When the biggest bastard on the battlefield is coming straight at you, there is only one true response: to smash his knee with a hammer and bring him down to size. A true master can sunder the gates of Arachthyrix. When using an equipped hammer, plus 4% attack damage. He didn't just learn the skills, but also started learning the appropriate techniques for each weapon. He even picked up a trick or two. He was about to start practicing his unarmed combat skill with Ox when that strange feeling occurred again. The same heightened awareness he felt when he approached the dungeon. This time, the feeling didn't get weaker, though. It grew stronger. Richter looked around, but nothing seemed amiss. All he could see out of the ordinary was a guard walking across the training ground with one of the freed prisoners in tow. The guard was laughing and smiling, so Richter didn't see any reason to be concerned. When they were within 100 yards, the feeling grew much stronger, and Richter was certain it was coming from one of the two men. It didn't take a huge leap of logic to know that it came from the man accompanying his guard. Richter used Analyze. Name, Himen. Race, half-gnome, half-human. Disposition, admiring. Level, 7. Stats. Health, 120. Mana, 120. Stamina, 170. Attributes. Strength, 17. Agility, 11. Dexterity, 10. Constitution, 12. Endurance, 17. Intelligence, 12. Wisdom, 12. Charisma, 24. Luck, 10. Skills. Mining, 24. Small blades, 5. Scavenging, 6. Dark magic, 2. Stealth, 5. Cooking, 3. Description. Racial blends are erratic in their disposition and powers. The offspring of such a union can inherit all or none of any of their parent race's characteristics. There really wasn't all that much that stood out about the man. His stats were middling and his attributes didn't seem all that great. Richter's analyze skill wasn't good enough to tell him what Himen's abilities were, but from what he could see so far, there was nothing that explained the feeling he had. Now that the two were closer, though, there was no doubt in the Chaos Seed's mind that it was coming from this man.
"What are you doing, Tayan?"
Calder snapped at the guard.
"Why did you bring this man out of the area Lord Richter set aside for the free prisoners?"
"I know this is a breach of protocol, Sergeant, but this man is a gift for Lord Richter. I have gotten to know him over the past several days, and I can promise that he's trustworthy. He merely asked to speak with you."
"Then why did you not tell me so that I could come to him?"
Calder's voice was sharp with rebuke over the breach in protocol. I still see no reason why you have brought him into the mists.
Hemen was looking around. He was searching for Calder, but his not having immunity to the mists would mean that anything beyond 5 to 10 feet away appeared to just be a solid wall of white vapor. Despite not being able to locate the sergeant, Hemen spoke up with a sure and friendly voice, however.
I would like to ask to take responsibility for Gartain bringing me here.
He gave a small laugh.
Honestly, I also begged him to let me stretch my legs. That is not the main reason I asked to be brought to his superior, however. I assume I'm speaking to Sergeant Calder or Captain Tarod?
There was no response, but the half-gnome remained undaunted. After a few moments, he continued, his voice turning earnest.
I wanted to thank you personally. You and your people have been so wonderfully helpful. We, myself and the other men and women you freed from the goblins, all owe you our lives. I wanted to let you know that I personally recognize that and am supremely grateful. Even after we arrived in your village, you helped us further by removing those traitors.
Hemen spat the last word.
Those bastards had preyed on the rest of us for so long. In my opinion, they deserved worse than what they got.
Richter and Tarod exchanged a glance at the man's vehemence, but they remained silent. Hemen continued.
For all of these reasons and more, I would like to give your lord a small token of my thanks. All I ask is that you relay my regards to Lord Richter and tell him that I am the first of the freed prisoners that would like to accept his offer to stay in the village. I am sure that he will be happy to have this item.
When Hemen finished his speech, he took a cloth-wrapped bundle from inside his shirt and handed it to Tayan. Calder silently held up a hand to the guard, halting him from moving forward. At the same time, he looked at Richter and Tarod. The two companions looked at each other again, sharing a moment of nonverbal communication before the Chaos Seed gave a short nod.
Walk forward with what he gave you, Tayan, Calder commanded firmly. We will discuss your breach of protocol later, but for now, your friend stays where he is.
The guard walked forward, but Richter's gaze remained glued to Hemen. He didn't know what was happening, but he was sure it was something important. The feeling had faded somewhat. Not like it had lessened, but more like he had gotten used to it somehow. The Chaos Seed was still acutely aware of it, but it was no longer distracting. Weakened or not, Richter wasn't about to take his eyes off the man until he knew what was going on. Calder took the package from his subordinate and unwrapped it. Sitting on a dirty scrap of cloth was a foot-long length of black metal. At the end of the short rod was a crystalline spike of dark green crystal. Richter's identify talent triggered. You have found Wand of Cursed Stumbling. Attack 2 to 3. Durability 74 of 102. Item class unusual. Quality superb. Weight 0.5 kilograms. Traits. This wand fires a ball of magical energy that explodes on contact. Anyone within 5 yards suffers from the Curse of Stumbling, causing a -23% loss of agility. This curse lasts for 30 minutes. Charges, 217 of 217. Richter raised one eyebrow. This thing was no cheap trinket. Agility not only determined how quickly someone could move, but also affected their ability to land and dodge attacks. Being able to fire off several balls from the wand could seriously hamper a small army. He didn't like the cursed part, but he supposed if it was bad for the wielder, it would have been called the Cursed Wand of Stumbling, not the Wand of Cursed Stumbling, or just Wand of Stumbling. At least he hoped so. It would be kind of pointless to create a trap and then advertise that it was cursed. People wouldn't ever equip it. On the other hand, Richter knew from his own profession talent tree that it was possible to mislabel enchanted items. His own Identify Enchantments talent was rank 2, though, so it should be able to appropriately describe most anything he found. Unless whoever created this item had purchased rank 3 of a talent that obscured the item prompt. Gah! He shook his head. He could get lost down that rabbit hole forever. There was only one way to really know if the item was a trap, and that was to pick it up. He wouldn't have someone else pick it up for him, though. He started to wave Calder over, but then had another thought.
Make him pick it up, Richter ordered quietly, pointing at Hemen. And make him fire it into the ground.
The sergeant nodded and walked over to Hemen. Calder paused for a moment, then handed over the wand. After repeating the instructions, the man looked off into the mist, searching. Richter realized that Hemen suspected he was near. The half-gnome did as he was ordered, though. He held the wand out and discharged it. A glow built in the crystal for 2 seconds before a green ball of light shot forward. When it struck the ground to the man's right, it expanded for 15 feet in every direction. The verdant glow hung in the air for a second before disappearing. Nothing else occurred. Richter used his talent again and saw that the single use had consumed 28 charges. Not overly surprising for an AoE spell that quartered an enemy's attributes. This truly was a princely gift. It had to be worth hundreds of gold. He couldn't help but wonder how a freed slave had gotten hold of such a powerful wand. He waved both Tirad and Calder over.
"There's something about this guy," Richter said quietly. "I'm not sure what it is, but it makes me feel something. The only other time I experience it is when I get close to the dungeon."
Tirad's eyes widened. There was a great deal he didn't know about that latest addition to the village, but he did know dungeons were dangerous. If his lord thought this man was similar in some way, then he took the possible threats seriously. Calder also picked up on his lord's intensity, but he was the perfect sergeant. He didn't speak unless he had something helpful to add. That being said, he was ready to kill as soon as his lord gave the word.
"Is this a problem I need to deal with, my lord?"
Tirad asked. His hand tightened around the hilt of his sword. Richter sighed.
"I don't know. Have you ever heard of dungeons becoming people or something like that?"
Tirad shook his head and then looked over at him in consternation. The captain had seen many things in his life, and more often than not, the unknown brought danger. Part of him wanted to kill this man and be done with it, but he knew Richter would not approve. He loved that his lord cared for the right of things, but it also made it damnably hard to keep him safe. The three of them stood there for another minute until Calder broke the silence.
"Though I plan on having serious words with Tayan, I do know the man well. He and I served together for years in Leaf's Crossing before we both came to join the village. I still plan to make him run in full armor until he throws up. But Tayan has a level head. For him to speak up for this man means something, at least in my book, my lord. We also have a good feeling about this, Hemen. Perhaps it is worth at least speaking to him before you make a decision."
Richter looked at him in surprise. When he had first met Calder, he had shaken Richter down for a few coins with a smile on his face. Despite that, the guard had been very helpful. Since coming to the village, Richter had seen another side of him. A no-nonsense, badass, tough-as-nails sergeant. Hearing him advise restraint, after already having chewed out Tayan, no less, was surprising. "You think we should give this guy a chance? Before Sumiko contests his intentions?" A look of confusion crossed over Calder's face for a moment, but then the indecision passed and he nodded.
"I cannot say exactly why, my lord, but I have a good feeling about this man. Also, you are surrounded by your guards. If he shows any hostility, we can end his life in a moment."
Richter looked at Tirad, and after a few moments, the captain nodded in agreement. That was good enough for him. The Chaos Seed turned his gaze back to Hemen and focused. The mists pulled back in a corridor between himself and the half-gnome. Richter walked forward with his sergeant and captain walking right behind him. When he was in front of Hemen, he held his hand out flat. Hemen smiled broadly at being able to see more of the world around him and handed the wand over. Richter placed it in his bag. Reaching out a hand again, he said formally, "Well met, Hemen. My name is Richter, and I'm the lord of this village. This is truly a wonderful gift, and I accept it in the same sentiment in which it was given." Hemen's face took on a slightly pained expression, but he also reached out and clasped Richter's wrist.
"Thank you, Lord Richter. I mean no offense, but my name, it's pronounced He-Man."
Richter blinked.
When he had just greeted the man, he pronounced it Hemen, and the whole time he'd been thinking, this guy's name sounds like Hyman. What really made him pause, though, was the fact that He-Man had used a contraction. He'd said, "It's."
almost no one did that. The only ones who did, in fact, were Richter's own friends, who had begun adopting some of his own manners of speech. When you added that to the man's name... Carefully, Richter asked, "Where's your name from? I've not heard it before." He-Man gave an easy laugh. "Yes,